Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey guys, thanks for listening back to We Met at Acme. This is episode 4, and we're here with one of my best friends from college, Brittany.
Hi.
What's up, Britt?
Oh, wow.
Britt and I have had many a long conversation, which the one that comes to mind right away is the one that we had in Acapulco at like 3 a.m., and it was the deepest conversation I think I've ever had with another person. I can't recall exactly what we talked about, but we got very deep. So I would say Britt's one of my deepest friends, and I really can appreciate that in a person. So thank you for being here. Thanks for your insight.
You are so welcome. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to take out our shovel with your listeners and really dig deep.
Totally. And today we're basically talking about scenarios, different scenarios that we've been in or friends of ours have been in, and just what we would do in those situations, in addition to just texting etiquette with guys. And what else are we talking about?
Just like all things that go on in relationships and with men. And we're also just, you know, like that late night talk that we had in Acapulco, we're being real, we're being honest. And yeah, like we're not trying to sound like anything. We're just saying like what's really going on, and hopefully you guys agree or find salvation in this and also laugh, and we're all in this together.
We sure are.
And many
Britt's current boyfriend is actually an amazing guy. He is a close friend of our good friend Natalie. Shout out Nat, we love you so much. And I actually walked down the aisle with him at her wedding.
And where we met.
Where they met. Britt and I were sharing a room. We were wedding roommates. And yeah. I locked her out accidentally on the night of the wedding.
Yeah, so I had a pizza party sleepover with my now boyfriend. That was our first night together. And I didn't have sex with him because I was pretending to be prude girl, because in my experience that is how you get a boyfriend. Lindsay will agree, sometimes she disagrees, she doesn't always follow that rule.
Listen, I think that it's really important to just kind of go with how you're feeling. I don't think that it's like, okay, 3 dates and then sex necessarily. If let's say on the second date there's a perfect opportunity, the mood is right, the vibes are there, and it just happens to happen.
I'm a five, like, wait 5 dates before sex kind of girl. Just more like, I'm not ready, or like, I don't know. Like, I just like need
but
to
didn't
know
you have sex with your boyfriend on the second date?
So we had the sleepover at the wedding, but I was playing the prude girl. Like, no, like, sorry. Like, just letting him like rub up and down my body, like with his rock hard boner. Like, you know, just like letting like that tension build. Like,
wow,
so
getting
desirable.
Very sexual. Sorry to turn you guys on.
Yeah. His huge rock hard boner. Love you, babe. Love ya. And just like letting that tension build, we don't we come back from the wedding, we're supposed to go to dinner or whatever. I was on a break from a different boyfriend at the time, so I couldn't go. That other boyfriend and I got back together, so said no. Basically, we were out of touch for a month. I break up with the old boyfriend. I text Lindsay a month later and say, I'm going to give my current boyfriend just a false name to protect his identity, but let's call him Fender, like Fender Bender. So I break up with my last
so
boyfriend.
False.
And I text Lindsay a month later and say, do you think I can text Fender, the kid who I had that sleepover with at the wedding, and ask him to take me on a date again? I need to get over my ex. What do you think? She said, definitely do it. He'll be thrilled to take you on the date. Just go for it. Because I always reach out to Lindsay with these moves.
I also have to say, I'm the one that gave Fender Brittany's number. He asked me for it the next day after the wedding. And so, I'm sure he could have gotten it other ways, but just makes me feel special.
Which I also, feel alarmed because I don't know why, he's texting with my friend. I just think that's weird. But anyways, we go on our date a month later, and I've never done this before. It's a 5-date rule, but I was like, fuck it. I just got out of a relationship. I'm going to fuck him. And he was the first guy that I did that with on the first date.
And now you guys have been together for almost a year and a
over
half.
Over a year. No, almost a year and a half. Like we're going to go with 11 months. No, 13 months.
13 months. There you go.
And yeah, so it's true. Sometimes you just got to feel it out. Not only did I get a boyfriend for fucking on the first date, I got the best, most normal boyfriend I've ever had. Thank you, Lindsay, for giving my number.
So now that you guys are dating, it seems like, and obviously, we talk about this, you can kind of text him whatever the fuck you want. Even if you are just spiraling out of control one day and having a breakdown, you can text him throughout that breakdown. That's an amazing feeling. Mm-hmm. Did you always feel like you could text your boyfriends in the past or people that you were dating in that way?
I have a tendency to have spiral breakdowns where I can send a lot of mentally unsound text messages in a row.
That escalate.
And as Lindsay coined it once, I'm very big into the LWDR, which is the long-winded detailed response. So no, I didn't always feel like I could ramble on my mental breakdowns. I have to wait, I guess, until a certain level of trust and love is established, similar to anal, until being able to text whatever the fuck I wanted.
Agreed, and we'll talk about the anal subject later. So I actually have some texting rules as a single girl in the dating world. But even when I had a boyfriend, always I've had these rules. And do you remember any of
okay,
them?
I remember one of them that's amazing I gave to another
friend. Oh, your ex-boyfriend
night.
Got mad at me for this rule, if this is the one that you remember.
The one, I don't think that's the rule I remember
But I have to tell that story after this.
The best rule that I've passed on to many other women that Lindsay taught me is if there's nothing to respond, then don't respond. So, for example, if they're like, hey, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm chilling at my friend's, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, cool. I'm watching the game with so-and-so. I would naturally want to write back and be like, oh, cool. Who's playing? Where are you guys watching? Lindsay's rule is they just said they're watching the game. They didn't ask a question. So there's nothing to respond. So don't respond.
Don't respond unless it's a question.
Unless it's a question. So one of my favorite rules. It's definitely worked.
Thank you.
What was the rule you were talking about?
So the rule that I think that was the rule, actually. I think that was the rule. So Britt's ex, I don't know if he was a hater or too much of a fan, but he just
Too much of a fan.
We did not click. And he said to me when we were at a group dinner once, he was like, you're texting rules. I forgot exactly how he said it, but he was like, are the reason that you don't have a boyfriend.
No, he goes, that's the reason you're still single.
Yeah, yeah.
He was also very troubled though, just he wouldn't know what he's talking about. I mean, naturally spiritual women like myself attract men who need healing. So that was sort of that.
It's true.
But what are your other texting rules?
So there's just etiquette, right? There are some people there are some guys I know that would never send more than 3 unanswered texts to a girl. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think beyond, I mean, I think 3 is romantic and nice and effort. I think beyond that, it's like the guys on the internet who are like, you want sex.
Right. Or like, can I smell your toes?
Yeah, like, send pics.
Send nude.
You up.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And like, what's considered, let's pretend that you're single for a second and you get a text about, like, from a guy, what's considered too late, like, booty call time?
To hang out? Or if the text is, like, how was your day?
To hang out.
If I haven't heard from them all day long and it's a weekend, like, past 10.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you wanted to see me that weekend night, even though 10's not that late, it's not like 2 in the morning, you would have texted me like at 7 or 8 being like, what's your plan for tonight?
What else can we say about texting?
But on a weeknight, 10 is not too late. Because it's like, maybe in my fantasy, it's like they worked so hard and long because they're making so much money. And they're leaving the office. And like, who do they want to see? Like, you. Because like, you take their stress away, you know? And like, you are the one for
that. Beautiful, actually. Yeah. It's really beautiful. What else can we say about texting etiquette? I feel like
we could say from a different perspective, and Lindsay, I think you'll agree with this. This is a new rule that I created for texting when you're in a relationship. It's definitely not a good idea to text your boyfriend that you've been dating for less than a year in the middle of the day and tell him that you think he's cheating and that you also really want a baby.
Did you do those things?
I feel like boyfriends don't respond well to that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah, that is why another reason why Fender is the best, because sometimes I have these crazy thoughts where I'll roll off these crazy texts, like how he's like cheating and he's a shitty fucking liar, even though he's literally never lied and checks him on like with me everywhere.
Right.
And then the next breath I'll be like, I'm just kidding, but like I really want a baby, like what should we name her? Like,
right. I actually think I remember seeing this conversation.
So that's a good rule for texting in a relationship.
Yeah.
You also have another rule, Lins. Your texting rules are never initiate the text.
Right, yeah. So I am not a fan of girls initiating text. And this is actually, I feel like some people would be like, that's so anti-feminist. But it's actually the opposite. I don't think that we need to chase anyone.
100%.
Like, if a guy wants to text us, guess what? He has our phone number.
Totally.
This isn't like 1970.
I agree. It's like, it's a way to like sort of like, if you want to be a real feminist and look at yourself like the queen that you are, you know, then you should expect, not salads, but you should expect...
Don't expect salads ever.
That, like, a lot of guys are going to want to talk to you and be with you. Like, you're amazing. You would be, like, such a valuable part of anyone's life. So, you know, I used to delude myself into being like, well, I haven't heard from them. I'm just going to say hi. And Lindsay would be like, no, like, just
there's
wait
a reason
for them to text you.
You haven't heard from him.
And I'll be like,
you haven't heard from him.
Okay, but like, he always initiates text. Like, I'm like, honestly, I'm like a feminist. I'm a female. I'm just like, I want to say hi. So like, I'm going to. But like, there's a, like, it's the truth. Like, relax, okay? Especially in the beginning, if they want to see you, if they want to talk to you, they will text you. And the reason why you let them is because see of the million guys that you're dating and who want you, like, which ones actually want to talk to you? Like,
it's true. There's, it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's so obvious.
And, like, don't rely on your girlfriends to tell you what they think of the situation, because, like, no one's going to be like, actually, it's obvious that he's not interested in you, because that's just, like, rude. So you have to kind of figure that out and be, like, as self-aware as possible.
Yeah, they're going to be like, no, he's definitely just been, like, super busy at work and, like, thinking about you a lot.
The best way is
scared
to just date multiple guys. And then you, when they text you, you won't even think about it because you'll be texting another one.
So Lindsay's always been very good at that. She always dates multiple guys at once, which I also think helps sort of makes it more realistic, because when you're dating multiple guys, you're actually able to compare and say, like, do I like this person?
Totally.
Do I not? I typically just date one person at a time. And then sometimes you're just like, I really like the idea of having a boyfriend, so I like everything that this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do struggle with dating multiple people.
Wait, let's talk about that. So I feel like both of us are guilty of kind of just like, being like, I really want a boyfriend, so this works. When it might have been a guy that, like, clearly it wasn't really working with.
100%. I think that's always the case. Like, you know...
Do you think that guys ever do that with girlfriends?
No, they never want a girlfriend. They just want to fuck this girl. And then they, like, wake up one day and they're like, oh, fuck, I actually, like, have feelings for her. Like, and that sucks. Because, mm-hmm. like, I want her to be my girlfriend. Like, fuck. Whereas women are like...
Wait, why would that suck?
Because guys want to fuck, like, so many new... Like, they just want new pussy at all times. So, like, if they develop feelings for someone, that means that, like, they're not going to get new pussy. And there's a grievance there. They have to grieve that. Despite the fact that they are falling in love, there's still a sadness element. That, like, the sadness is that they are... The good news is they're falling in love. But the sad news is that means, like, their dick is going to be entering less new pussy as a result of that.
Wow, that is crazy and dark.
And true.
Potentially very true.
But yeah, I think that, like, with the last one who told you that's why you were still single, the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
I just wanted a boyfriend so badly that, I mean, there was glaring red flags. I also wasn't dating other people.
What are some red flags that are like, you think are common that girls kind of overlook in that situation?
Any guy, like, in the beginning that, like, asks you to send a lot of pics...
Yeah, I would say that's definitely a red flag.
And
let's go back and forth with some red flags. So you said the guy with the pics.
Send pics a lot.
I would say any guy that, like, okay, this is obvious, but any guy that says their ex is a bitch.
Uh-huh.
Or a psycho.
Any guy that's, like, texting you all day long, you think it's a great thing, because, like...
Totally agree
with
this
one. But it's not. Like...
It's not.
Are they, like, do they have a life? Are they an adult? Like, you know what's nice? Like, when they text you once a day at the end of the day at 5 o'clock, like, telling right. you they're about to get out of the office and ask how your day was.
Right.
All day long is, like...
It's so concerning.
Very. And we're like, oh my God, it's so sweet. He just, like, wants to be in contact with me all day. No, yeah, he's no, also no, in contact no. with 700 women all day because he's a sex addiction.
That's a true mark of sex addiction.
Yeah.
No, straight up. Like, there's no better way of saying I'm addicted to sex than sending.
Than texting all day.
100%.
He don't care that much what you have to say at all.
100%.
Yeah. In your fashion PR job. He's not like, well, how was your boss today? Like, is she still jealous of you? Like, he don't give a fuck.
I'm dead. Literally.
Other red flags.
Yeah.
When they're... Oh. I always fall for this red flag. And luckily, Fender set this straight. He made me realize that with past people it was a red flag. Red flags are like when you go on an amazing date, you have a great date, then maybe a week later you go on an amazing second date, and then you're spending every single day together, like every day they want to see you.
Oh, totally agree. I actually had a conversation with you and Fender about this at your birthday.
Because my boyfriend to this day, like, he literally sees me max now, because I force him to, is 4 times a week, but, like, typically it's 3 times a week. Like,
that's normal, though.
And I, like, did not understand that, and... It is normal. Any guy that's seeing you every single day, like, after the first 2 times that you've hung out with them, the only reason you should see your boyfriend every day is if you live with them.
Yeah. No, you're actually bringing up a really good point. We're seeing each other, like, every day. Like, I remember we went on our first date, and he was like, I need to see you tomorrow. And then he was like, I need to see you the next day. And I think that when someone, like, wants to see you every single day, it's... really scary. And
it's
like
infatuation. It's not like, it's not measured, you
totally.
Know?
Totally. Like, when someone says, like, I love you too soon or anything like that, like, it just kind of shows, like it's just a bad sign for them. It's a red flag. It's a red flag.
For sure.
Like, they don't even know you. Like, what are they in love with? Like,
100%.
Just the idea of you or just your sex, like, your pussy.
I think other red flags are, well, an obvious one is, like, when they don't introduce you to their friends. That's a red flag. But also, don't read too much into that, because I dated someone who, like, introduced me to all of his friends, so I was convinced that he liked me, but, like, he just, like, wasn't
so,
anything.
I agree with you. When they don't introduce you to their friends, obviously that's a red flag. How about when they introduce you to their friends right away? That's also a red flag.
I think then they just see you as, like, this girl that, like, is hot, that, like... come with me to the bar with my friends so I could show off this, like, piece that, like, I'm fucking.
Right. Totally. But
yeah.
We have to give guys some credit. Like, we're kind of pigeonholing them to make it, like, a lose-lose situation. There are always exceptions.
Yeah.
It's very possible a guy might be just so excited about you that he wants to show you off to his friends in not a this-is-my-piece kind of way, but in like, look at this cool girl, like she's wearing a turtleneck and like.
But that should happen after a month, because like any man like that's measured and as an adult, like who's like, oh, look at this amazing girl, like I just met her 2 weeks ago and you guys have to meet her, like that sounds like you don't even know her. Like, why don't you just like wait until like you make right, sure she's not a crazy you know stalker her. Like mm-hmm. You could start telling her friends about this amazing girl, but like I think in the first month, like it's yeah, a red no, flag.
I agree. So going past red flags for a second, how soon do you think is too soon, because we were just talking about rushing into things, to meet your significant other's parents? And like, do you think it depends on the situation?
I think actually, and this either we can like merge topics or have it after, but I think it depends on, so you're dating for X amount of time and then when do you define the relationship? I think it depends like how long since you've defined the relationship. So
DTR.
So if you were dating for 3 months, you defined it, you guys were boyfriend, girlfriend, I think 6 months from there, mm-hmm. which is 9 months, or maybe just another 3 months from there, and then that's a total of 6 months.
But what do you do when your parents, like, I was saying this on the first episode, literally seep into your life. Like, they're crazy, they're Jewish, and they're just like, who is this? Who is that? Like, we need to see them. We okay. need to meet them.
You set boundaries, and you say, Mom, Dad, I love you guys, but I'm still trying to figure out this person. I've only known them for 2, 3, 4 months, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And the next person that I bring home to you guys, I want to make sure, you know, is worth it. And, you know, it takes a long time to get to know someone. Like, my therapist always says she's been married for 40 years and, like, she's still getting to know her husband, you know? Mm-hmm. And if, you know, you could say, like, I love the fact that you're excited for me, but it puts a little too much pressure on the relationship for me. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying mm-hmm. to figure out who this person is, what my feelings are. And, you know, if they keep pushing, I guess you can just be like, you just have to be honest. You just be like, then I can't talk about this stuff with you because you're fucking putting a lot of pressure on me and it's scaring yeah. me. Like, mm-hmm. enough. You just, yeah, you have to set boundaries.
Totally.
Because my mom, I mean, when I'm thinking about it now, actually, I introduced Fender.
Yeah, when did you meet? When did
you know, meet? We actually, like, had a weird, like, fight about it because he was weird about it. Like, when I asked him to meet my parents, it was, and now that I think about it, it was, like, 5 months in. Mm-hmm. But my mom had been asking, like, for so, like, since the first day. And it was probably 5 months in. We probably could have waited another month. I think it was a little too soon for him, but he ultimately, like, felt strongly about us. And I think that, and then my mom really put the pressure on, like, when she gets to meet his mom. We did that probably, like, 9, 10 months in.
Right.
But I think if I would have asked him that, like, any sooner, like, it would have been a red flag for him. I think there was a compromise made there. Like, it was mm-hmm. a little early for him, but not, like, alarmingly early, so he was able to, like, meet in the middle.
Right. We're going to talk about a subject that is probably a little awkward and no one likes to get into it, but it's absolutely necessary, not only for your protection, but just in general. Condoms. So, you're on a first date. You're on a fifth date and yeah. you're ready to have sex with this guy and you're in his bed and you're about to kind of get to business. You've done some foreplay and you're like, do you have a condom? Because you know that it's heading in that direction. And he's like, no,
and you're ready.
You're ready. And he's like, no, I don't have a condom. But you're on birth control and he's like, You know he's a nice guy. What do you do in that situation?
Well, I've had this situation happen. I would, if we're in his bed.
Yeah, I mean,
because if we're in my bed, I would get up just to quickly look and see if I have any.
Right.
I don't like really keep condoms in like my apartment, but like I would check. You know, mm-hmm. like.
I wonder if how many girls keep condoms in their apartment. I'm actually going to do a poll on it right now and see. I'll tell you the results live.
I would check. This happened to me with my current boyfriend, Fedner. This was like the only red flag that he's ever done. But, you know, I think he's naive, like a lot of people on sexual health. And I got up to look for a condom and I didn't have one. And I said, okay, I don't have one. Also, I wasn't on birth control.
Interesting.
And I think that the pullout method only works with boyfriends, if it works at all. More just because, like, if you do get pregnant with the pull-up method, like, you don't want to, like, have to, like, hit that guy up that you slept with and be like, I'm pregnant. You'd rather be, like, to your boyfriend, like, I'm pregnant. Like, can you come with me to these, like, doctors and pay for this? But I didn't have one, and he turned to me and was, like, so excited, obviously, mm-hmm. and was like, oh, it's okay. Like, we know all the same people. And I was...
Wait, so he was like, he basically said, like, it's okay.
Because I'm not like a random hooker.
We don't use a condom because we have friends in common.
Right. And I basically turned to him.
And that makes you not have syphilis or chlamydia?
100%. Like,
or genital warts?
I was like, wait, so just because, like, we know all the same people and what you think, like, the prevalence of STDs is low, like, you realize that people don't talk about their STDs. Like, they don't come in like, oh, I'm not feeling well. Like, I have the flu. They're not like,
oh, syphilis again.
I'm not feeling well. Like, I, you know, got a really bad herp flare up down there and it's killing me when I sit. Like, nobody, like, what? Like, in the same circle means nothing. So I said, like, that sucks. Then we fooled around a little, played like a little bit of Just the Tip. And then with self-control, I stopped him. And then we actually went to order pizza and it was too late by then. So we walked to the Dirty Deli on the corner to get a frozen pizza. Because I'm gross and needed it to not barf. And he had the bright idea while we were at the Dirty Deli to get the condoms. And the funny thing about that is we definitely started with the condom, but definitely didn't finish with it. Because
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you started to trust him mid-sex.
I mean, I think it was more about the principle just of, like, also, like, yeah, like, it's like, because then they still have something to work for. It's like, if you're going to fuck a guy on the first date, like, and then they already get it, like, you know, they're still going to be thinking about it because they're still going to want to, like, then they're going to want to, like, you know, hit it raw. You know, you have to give them stuff to look forward
to. So how long do you have to make a guy kind of wait to hit it raw?
I mean, unless you're really drunk and you're just, like, take off the condom or, like, we don't need one because, like, you're just being a drunk whore. Like, you wait until after you have that conversation. Like, it doesn't have to be the, like, are you my boyfriend? But just, like, the check-in of, like, so what are we doing here? Are
wait,
we
dating other but people? But what if you are drunk and do that? Do you then go back to using condoms
you
like
do.
Nothing happened?
You pretend like nothing happened. It's like when you send, like, one of those horrible texts. Like, you just, yeah, you pretend like it didn't happen. And that's actually another thing that we very much disagree on. Yeah. I am always ready. After I've been dating someone for 6 weeks, I want to know, like, are you dating other people? Are we dating each other? Like, what are we doing? And I always ask you, like, I need to know if they're seeing other people. Like, can we define this? And
yeah,
you're
so,
always like, you need to relax.
Right. So is it the girl or the guy's job to define the relationship? 100% the guy's. And if he doesn't bring it up, guess what, sweetie? Move on along.
Okay. So I definitely defined, like, our entire relationship. I don't remember if we had, like, an exclusive talk, but I definitely brought up the boyfriend-girlfriend talk. It was, like, after one of our mutual friends' parties. We went together, and I, like, really wanted him to introduce me as his girlfriend, and, like, he didn't. And I remember afterwards, I did a lot of Google research for, like, the best way to bring this up, and I decided the least desperate way to sound on this, instead of being like, when are we, like, I said, so I was thinking, and I think I like you enough to want to call you my boyfriend. What do you think? And then he said, yeah, I agree. I want to call you my girlfriend. And then just to be clear, I was like, so are we now boyfriend and girlfriend? And he was like, yeah. And it was really simple. It goes other ways. I've done that in the past. I asked a guy, like, so I've used that line before, actually. So I think I like you enough. And
yeah,
the last guy was like, sure, but I feel like what we're doing is similar to boyfriend and girlfriend without the title. So you can see the difference. For a guy who does want to be with you, even though he doesn't bring it up, he just says, yeah, let's do it, versus the guy that doesn't, he starts asking you, like, what the definition of a girlfriend is.
Right. I actually have had friends in relationships where the guy thought that they were boyfriend, girlfriend, and that's the only reason he didn't bring it up.
That happens. Men are, like, first of all, they don't communicate that well.
At all.
And I don't know if, I don't know if this is really your friend or if this is you or what the deal is, but I will say, it sounds to me like he was sort of just like covering his ass and did like her enough to be that. And instead of being like, I don't think he thought about it and just kind of used that as a save. Like, I already thought we were, because that's like, oh my God, that's so sweet. Not yeah. like I never thought about it.
Yeah. No, totally.
But it still works, because then you guys are together. So it doesn't matter, you know?
It's true. It's true.
What would you do if you were in a guy's bed, ready to get down and dirty, doggy style, or not? And you were like, do you have a condom? And he was like, no.
I would be like, give me your medical history records.
You would.
And if they check out, then maybe we could continue. And if not, no, honestly, it's really up in the air. I hate to side with Fender on this one, but it's like, if you do know the person and like, you know that they wouldn't even want to risk something like that, you know, then it's one thing. Like, for example, you know, and I don't know if I'm going to include this or not, but I, with the guy that I am, my neighbor with benefits, we were using a condom, and then the other night we didn't, and it was totally my bad because I was used to not using a condom in a relationship and just naturally kind of like got on top of him. And then after, I was like, fuck, I just realized we didn't use a condom.
Right.
And at first I was like, fuck. And then I was like, you know what? Like, he's a good normal guy. And weirdly enough, like, that comforted me. Obviously, like, I got tested.
Just you did.
To be sure. Yeah.
Wow.
But, like, in that moment, I was like, whatever. That's comforting enough, you know?
I mean, it's definitely more helpful, like, with some...
But it's not like if you ever ask a guy, like,
they're going to be like, you know what? Yeah, yeah. I did.
They're going to be
like, in 2009, I got treated for chlamydia. That was a doozy. 2011. And it's also the same in reverse.
Actually, that's not true. I had an ex that was very open about his, like, sexual stuff. Like, he had something.
I mean, same. If a guy said to me, like, have you had a history of STDs? I wouldn't be like, well, I got HPV twice in college. Like, you know what I mean? So there's that. I mean, I guess HPV doesn't really matter for men because you guys can't even get tested for it and pass right. it around. But, yeah, I don't know.
So let's talk about when you can start talking about sex with someone that you're dating.
What do you mean talking about sex?
I mean, like...
You're like, having sex already?
Okay, like, I'll give you a scenario.
Okay.
Like, you are... having sex for the third or fourth time with someone that you're dating now for like a few months, and they grab your hair like really hard during sex.
Okay.
And it's just like, not only is it painful for you, but like, it's
you don't
just
like
not,
it.
Yeah. It just, it, if anything, it like turns you off.
It's not working.
What do you do? Like, do you, like, slap their hand away during sex? Do you wait till after and then you're like, grabbing the hair thing, by the way, wasn't for me? Especially if, like, neither person has brought up sex, what they like and don't like.
I think that if, like, we're having sex maybe for the third or fourth time and they were really, like, getting off from the hair pulling and it wasn't, like, putting me in horrible pain, even though I was uncomfortable, I didn't love it. I would probably, that for me, like, I would be okay with. I would let them, I think it's great that they start to, like, express themselves sexually. I think a mistake that we all make, that I've made myself, is we actually don't talk about sex soon enough. I don't know why we have sex once and then don't talk about, like, what worked and what didn't, because then you have sex 5, 6, 7, 8 times and you're like, so, by the way, like, I really like this, and they've never done it once, right. and... Or like, oh, by the way, like, you've been pulling my hair and I've been pretending to be submissive. Like, will you dominate me? And I actually hate BDSM. Like, it's just a little like, you guys are lying to each other. You're being frauds. And we don't speak up early enough. I think men do it better. Like, right away, they're like, put my balls in your mouth, or like, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Whereas, like, women, like, we don't say it. And we forget that, like, it takes practice and it takes time. Like, you know, my boyfriend and I now, we're trying to get more comfortable with that. And we sort of just have to laugh in the middle. Like, we're trying to be more comfortable with that. And he was, like, fingering me and, like, eating me out a little. And then he stopped eating me out and started fingering me. And I was, like, eat me out again. And he was, like, I already did that. And it was, like, huh? Like, you look like you just, like, read instructions, like, first screw this in, then, like, hammer that. Like, you don't check it off the list and not go back to it. Like, I'm trying to fucking come here. So, like, if I want you to, like, lick my clit again just because you did it already doesn't mean, like, you don't have to do it again. Like, and we were, like, laughing at, like, the disconnect. And
I'm dead. You just sounded like Karen there for a second.
It's my mother, which is very odd. And, you know, like, we're learning how to do that now. Like, you know, also, I had been giving what I thought were amazing blowjobs for so long and thought I, like, was really satisfying my man with them and thought that, you know, Fender just maybe didn't really like blowjobs or whatever, which is such a delusional lie.
What was the case?
The case was that, like, I actually don't suck a good dick, and I was, like, air popping it, like, not using my tongue or saliva.
Wait, it's so funny. How do you know if you suck a good dick?
And I think, like, if they come.
No, so no.
Not true.
That's
exactly.
Not true at
that's
all.
What I just
that's
learned.
Not true at all.
Yeah.
Because a guy can always come.
Yeah.
And I was with a friend, I think it was like a year ago, and we had someone from Glam Squad, the app, at my apartment, like, doing our hair or something, and somehow giving head came up. And she's taught a class on how to give head.
I remember you telling me about this one.
Yeah, and she was incredible, and she told me all of these things that, like, blew my mind. Basically, she said that if a guy doesn't, like, tell you that that was the best head in the world after you do it,
it wasn't good.
It was terrible. Like,
you know,
there's no, like, in between. And
even if they came, even if whatever.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's so true, actually. And I guess the answer is how you do know if you give good head or not is exactly what the first question was, which is, when do you start talking about sex? And you only know if you start to talk about it. So either they say that was the best fucking head they've ever gotten in their life, or they say you didn't use any tongue or saliva, so you got to start doing that. And, like, you don't know unless you start, let's talk about sex, baby.
But it's weird. I feel like guys are almost, like, also scared to offend us. Like, I remember there was someone I was intimate with, and I asked them if they liked their balls sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, sure. I could tell it was just, like,
where you're like, I don't really want to suck your fucking balls. I don't give a shit if you don't like it.
Right. It's like, obviously I'm not,
you're
like, I'm not coming in here being like, oh, please, I wish this guy lets me suck his hairy, gross balls.
You're just like, do you? Because, like, well, like, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, actually, that guys do, which is, like, it's like, just say it. If you're like, no, I don't like that, then, like, great, we're not going to put your sweaty, hairy balls in our mouth. Like,
totally.
I mean, talking about sex early, like, is something we should all start doing, and we're so guilty of, like, not doing it. Because it's really, like, the only way to, like, figure out what you guys like. Also, not just, like, what you're willing to participate in. Like, when that guy was, like, sure, like, yeah, would he have participated in you putting, like, his balls in his mouth? Yeah. Like, does that get him going? Like, no. So then, like, what are you choking on balls for? Like, it's just, like, inefficient use of time.
Exactly.
And also, I think, like, we open up, we unfold, you know, like, you might not realize that you like something, and then you start to do it, and, like, you do.
What about a guy who, okay, let me give you a scenario. You really like this guy, you've been out, like, a few times, and you've now had sex, like, twice. And both times that you had sex, he came within 1 or 2 seconds, like, no joke, maybe 5 seconds maximum. Mm-hmm. You really like this guy and you don't want to embarrass him. Like, how do you talk about sex then?
Well, first, I feel like I would just feel super flattered, and I wouldn't, like, think that, like, maybe he had an issue. I'd just be like, he is, like, so obsessed with me.
Yeah, you don't want to embarrass him.
So I don't want to embarrass him. You know, I think I actually miss a social cue there, because I would probably, after the third time, I mean, third time's the charm, if it happened again, I would probably say, like, I would try to be funny. I'd probably be like, what's the deal? Like, are you just, like, so excited to be fucking me? Or, like, is this, like, a thing? Like, how we make this work. And then I would probably like self-disclose something embarrassing about myself. I'd be like, if it's like any consolation, like I masturbate face down, like on my pillow with my cat on my back. Like, I don't know, like sex is funny and weird and we've all got different things. So like, what's the deal there? What's going on with that? What's up with that?
Right. And what if his response to you asking what the deal is like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
What's I give him deal? One more shot to like just be vulnerable then. I'd be like, well, what I mean is that like we've every time that we've had sex, it's lasted for less than 60 seconds. And like, you know, there's songs written about this. Like nobody wants a 1 minute man. So that's what I mean. And at that point, I would be less concerned in like a sexual issue and more concerned with a man or a person that's unwilling or unable to see like the challenges that they face and like know themselves to that level. Like I would have a lot of respect for the guy that looked up and was like, you know what? Like it actually is a problem that I have. And I'd be like, cool. Like, is like, how do we, like, I'm sure we can work on it. You know, like, let's, if I really liked him, I'd be like, we can tackle that together. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
So our condom poll results are in. We have a 50-50 with, actually, no, only one girl. Only one girl.
Keeps them.
Only one girl said
yes. Oh, that's sweet, actually. And the dudes that wrote back, they all said yes.
Actually, a couple said no. Like, one guy who's pretty sexually active said no, which is shocking and scary.
It's not right.
But that's neither here nor there.
He's the guy that's giving HPV.
I know. That's not okay. It's really not okay. So, any, like, last words? Any last questions for me or for... like the viewers, anything you can tell us about like witchery, is that a word?
Witchery, Wicca, spirituality. I think that life gets very hard and confusing. Aside from dating issues, there's just so much. And then on top of it, clearly it's an emotional burden on us that we can all try to play cool or laugh or navigate or play with. But at the end of the day, it does affect us, and it's hard. And I think that spirituality and the reason why I use my cards and my crystals is because you have to sort of give way to other forces and what's not known, and you have to kind of keep faith and stay positive and not go everything alone. Which is why I like spirituality, and which is also why I really like this podcast. We kind of all are going through dating alone. I mean, yeah, we have our friends and we talk about stuff, but how honest are we being? It's like Lindsay says, no one's going to look at your friend and be like, no, he's not into you at all.
Right.
And how insecure are we feeling a lot of the time? So this is fun and nice, and it's a good way for like all of us to be in it together and get real. And
I love it.
We're trekking.
Love it. So we're going to get back to that. I just thought of a topic that we didn't talk about real quick.
Yeah.
Which is, what do you do if you don't like your friend's boyfriend or the guy that your friend is dating? Do you kind of like let them ride it out?
So that actually works into the spirituality thing. If you don't like your friend's boyfriend because you truly get bad vibes from that person and just think that there is something off and that like they're not good, you have to sort of express caution to your friend, especially when you see red flags, and sort of be willing to offend, I think.
It depend how close you are with that friend?
Yeah, I think that you only give your two cents if it's like a best friend that you've had for years. Like, even if you have a serious closeness with someone, like, you know, only time in history can like make hurt go away, so you can't really afford to hurt someone like that you don't have that time in history with. I think if you don't like your friend's boyfriend because they're annoying, not funny, like a loser, just like don't fucking like them, you have to suck it up, because like if you don't get bad vibes from them, you're just like, this person's a dud, I would never chill with them. I don't get that. Like, that's what your friend chose. It's not, you didn't choose that.
Agreed. I mean, like, it's one thing if you, like, think that, like, he's cheating on her or think that, like, his intentions are not pure versus just, like, think that he's kind of lame.
Like, you've, like, you've told me in the past, like, I think you told me with my ex-boyfriend that you, like, really didn't like him. Or, like, you made it clear, you know, like.
Yeah.
Which is equally as important. If you can't say it directly, like, you can make it clear. As long as, like, you're not being passive-aggressive about it. Like, you, like, chose not to hang out with us, you know, like. And that's clear. And that also makes a person wake up and be like, I want to fix this.
Right.
You, like, you do a good job at sort of, like, telling people what's up.
Yeah. But it's hard. You also really want your friend's boyfriend to like you, too. So it's just, like, a confusing.
You have to give them a chance, I guess, to, like, really weigh it out. But you also have to, like, listen to your gut. And if your gut's like, no. I don't know. Like, when in doubt, just, like, talk a lot of shit to, like, all of your other friends. And, like, let everybody, like, bring the conversation bigger. And, like, hopefully, like, one day, like, you guys can all sit down and talk about it. So, like, you're not the asshole.
Totally.
Calling them out. Like, if it's especially, like, a genuine concern that, like, not good. Like, otherwise, like, yeah, you gotta roll with it. We're not all gonna like everyone's partners, you know?
I totally agree. Britt and I lived in LA one summer together, and we were, like, I wasn't actually single, but we, like, there was, like, single vibes.
Yeah.
And, what are your thoughts on dating in LA versus dating in the city, if you have any?
Dating in LA sucks, honestly. Like, it's a lot harder to execute dates. So it's like in the city, if you're on a date, a first date, and you guys, like, go to a bar for drinks, and, like, the bar, like, just has, like, a weird crowd, a weird vibe. Like, you can be like, should we go to, like, this wine bar, like, on second? Like, it's great. You could just immediately change the vibe, change your settings, and then, like, save the date, you know? In LA, it's like, if you go somewhere and, like, it sucks, like, then, like, you're not gonna, like, drive somewhere else, like, get in your car and, like, talk about it. It's just, like, also, like, yeah, you can't just, like, flow with someone. The cool, like, the best thing about, like, dating in the city is, like, the walk from wherever you're going, whether it's, like, the bar back to your apartment, like, after dinner or whatever it is. Like, in LA, it's just, like, it's not like that. Also, in LA, it's all, like, setups and just, like, weird shit. In New York, you get to, like, go be out and, like, meet someone.
Right.
Dating in LA is literally, like, it's, like, an auction for, like, okay, like, this, like, everyone pairs off on, like, an equal, like, rich level, hot level, thin level, and then, like, go from there. We might have to cut that
because of our friends who live in LA, but
sorry.
I have one last scenario. So, let's say that you are dating someone. You're, like, five dates in, you just had sex, it was perfect, everything's amazing, like, you're really starting to like him and think that there's a future, and then you find out that he is, like, obsessed with rolling or, like, coke or just something, like, he's just, like, really into something heavily, right?
I definitely think that my opinion of this is going to come across unhealthy and not normal, and I wouldn't suggest this for other people, but because of the person I am, I think that if I really liked the person and felt like there was a future, I would continue going with the relationship because recognizing their demons or their struggles or whatever it is, you know, sort of, like, makes me feel like we all have our shit and, like, you know, I really like this person and they're clearly struggling with something. Like, maybe I came into their life to help them. Like, but my therapist also says I have boundary issues. So, like, that could be that. I think for most people, like, you should just, like, maybe, like, that's, you know, it's a fucked up thing to get involved with. So. Yeah.
And would you ever date someone who, like, likes to go out? I'm kind of struggling with that right now. One of the guys that I'm seeing, like, I can just tell that he is a party boy.
I don't like that. But if you like to party, then, like, it's great. I like to stay home with my cat and watch, like, reruns of Friends, Grey's Anatomy, or Veep. So.
I need, like, a balance. Like, I love to stay in. Don't get me wrong. I would prefer not to go out two nights a weekend ever. Like, to someone to stay in Friday with and maybe, like, go to a party with on Saturday. Not, like, go to a club, but a party. Be social.
So they might, like, the person that you're dating, they might like to go out and, like, what you're recognizing is right. But they might like to stay in with you and
I should give them that opportunity.
Yeah, and until, like, finding the balance becomes a problem, then just because currently they like to go out a lot, like, that's their behavior that you're noticing when they're single.
Mm-hmm.
If they, like, if you guys are dating and they still like to go out all the time, mm-hmm. then, like, that's not going to work. You guys have different temperaments, you know?
Totally.
But because you like to go out maybe one night a week and they like to go out, it sounds like you guys can find, like, a really nice harmony if that's there, you know?
I think you're right. Thank you so much for all your wisdom today and for being with us. This has been my friend Britt. She is awesome.
She's like Madonna. No last name. Just Britt.
No last name. You can try to find her by stalking the people I follow on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. And
everyone keep trying, you guys. We're all trying.
Never give up. And put yourself out there.
Use condoms and, like, put your foot down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a syphilis scare recently, and it was scary, and my boyfriend was scared. Fender, like a fender bender.
Thanks, guys. We'll catch you on the next episode.